Our first guest in this hour of the program has been making some tremendous documentary films for more than three decades now, including movies like Out of Sight, The Acclaimed Farmer's Wife, and Country Boys. His newest premieres tonight on PBS, entitled Marcos Doesn't Live Here Anymore. We're very thrilled to be joined by documentary filmmaker David Sutherland. David, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm delighted to be there.
What was it that drew you to the story of Elizabeth Perez and her husband Marcos?
I always was interested in immigration. My older sister lived in Mexico as a painter for 5 years. And then I also, in my long-form documentaries, had a lot of undocumented and also dreamers interning for me. So I got interested in doing a film about immigration, but when I met Elizabeth Perez, it became more of a film about deportation. And the way I make films, I wanted to do something where you would meet a family who was going through that on both sides of the border, him isolated in Mexico and her in Cleveland raising their two kids. And so I really wanted to do a close-up piece, which is what I always do, about imperfect people, where you feel them, go through the experience, feel their frustrations, and that's what it became.
Well, and one of the very powerful moments comes early in the film when Elizabeth and her children are Skyping with Marcos in Mexico, and boy, that certainly pulls you in and make you feel for their plight, although, as you mentioned, they are imperfect people. Marcos knowingly violated the law, knew what the risks were, and then found himself deported in 2010. Was that important to you as well, that this not be portrayed as a story that's all black and white but has a lot of shades of gray?
Well, it does. She's a decorated Marine and who had been in Afghanistan for 10 years. But this is the thing. And he has this misdemeanor record, but it was in 2001. It's not like he's Al Capone or anything. But the big thing is you don't really follow the politics that are going on. You feel her frustration. She's petitioning senators. You see her with people in the House of Representatives, even a Republican, Jim Jordan.
Right.
And so basically, it's really not about politics. It's feeling the frustration of what's going on and for a family that's gone through deportations and the effects on a family. So I really want you to see them warts and all and to feel the experience. The big thing is of what they're going through. If at the end of the film you ask the question, where are they now? And what are their plans? And things like that, then you've cared about a family who went through deportation and are still dealing with it. As she says, she's sort of like, their experience is sort of like a hamster on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. That's what she's after the film in another interview. And that's really, and if you raise that question, where are they, then you care enough about them to want to know. And that's what my goal is. So it's not whether you're for or against immigration and people being here or coming here, then at least you'll be able to identify with them. That's what I'm going after.
And I think the truth that it speaks to is the fact that whatever side people may be on, I think most people can agree that there are problems. The system is broken because we see so many examples of inefficiency, uncertainty, inconsistency, and incredibly poor communications.
Yeah, and it's also a very harsh system, unusually harsh. And so that's what, you know, if you can care about them, you have to remember one thing when we were talking politics. Obviously, everyone has some political feelings. But the big thing for me is I'm a portraitist. I'm not an investigative reporter. So I want their mood to be right. I want it to be accurate emotionally. I'm not just going for the facts. This isn't Dragnet, the old TV show. Just the facts, ma'am. It's also, are we seeing people as they are? And I can honestly say that Marcos saw the film. He watched it four times in a row, and he let me know in Mexico. He let me know that he found it very emotionally real. He found it accurate, and he watched it four times in a row. And he was very thankful that it got made. And it's not an advocacy piece. It's hard when you show a subject, and Elizabeth felt very similarly. But it's not, and I always dread that moment when you show them the film. How do they feel about it?
Sure.
And this one is so close up emotionally, and there are so many ups and downs, and they both get depressed, and they lose it, and all types of things like that. But if you keep caring about them enough to keep watching, which most people have so far where I've shown it, then you've gotten to know a family who happens to be dealing with deportation. And you've been there yourself. It's one of the few films, if not the only one, where you follow a family on both sides of the border. So it's a parallel action love story about a family who is grappling with, will he come back or won't he come back? And what do they do next? Where can they go? Where will anyone accept him? And then the question is, when they finally do go to the Yucatan at the end for the second try in Mexico, because it didn't work the first time financially, they couldn't afford it, then the question is, will they remember how to live together? Mm-hmm. And that's another big issue, because when people get separated for long periods of time, that's always an issue.
We're talking with filmmaker David Sutherland. Marcos doesn't live here anymore. It premieres tonight on Frontline, 9 o'clock on PBS. Even away from the subject of immigration, I thought there was a very interesting event that occurs in the film when Elizabeth went to talk with Representative Jim Jordan. He was offering free haircuts for veterans. And when she drove, what was it, 3 hours to get there, and then the person doing haircuts didn't do haircuts for women. So they didn't even take into account female veterans.
And there are 2 million of them.
That was remarkable to me, and that was in many ways as mystifying and depressing as the state of the immigration question. Is the story of Elizabeth and Marcos, from what you've learned, a fairly common one out there?
Well, I can't give you the numbers, but there are a lot of veterans that have served this country, and some that were undocumented and served and then got deported. And when you think about that, that's mind-blowing. That the facts like that, and there are many of them, is shocking to me.
We were talking about it before the show, and what really affected us, it was hard not to feel for the children in the middle of this who got pulled both ways, both literally and figuratively. That has got to be such a tough situation for them.
And the thing that there are scenes in the film, as you watch the kids get older and older, it starts out when they are like 5 and 7 or 4 and 6, and you watch them get older. But then there's a scene in the film where Pelé, the oldest boy, is becoming so aware of all the nuances, even though he's only 6 years old at this time, because it happens over 3 or 4 years, the film, that he asked his father on Skype, Dad, why are you in Mexico and I'm in Ohio when all the other kids have their dads there? And then he keeps going back and forth, and Marcos, the father, keeps saying, one day, Pelé, we'll be together, and it goes back and forth, and then ends up, he's eating an ice cream, lying on a bed, crying for his mother, because he's just so sad.
You had access to so many intimate moments with both Elizabeth and the kids and Marcos. Was there Was there ever a moment when they thought about not completing the project, or when they didn't want you to be around?
Actually, no. I'm not saying it's because of my charming personality. It's that when I find my subjects, and I've looked in all of them, in one film I lived with 52 farm families till I found over 4 days with each family over 2.5 years till I found the right family. The question is, when I'm choosing my subjects, it's always a big issue. Will they be able to go the distance? Even if they're getting depressed, having a breakdown, whatever. So far, my judgment's been right. But you can call that luck, intuition. It's a fielder's choice. It could be any of the above. But it is something that with Elizabeth, there was no way that she was going to drop out, because if she gives her word, she's loyal. She's not only loyal, she's maybe the most patriotic person I've ever met in my life, in spite of what's happening to her family. She never will say a bad word about this country. And you've seen that at a rally in the film many times.
Well, the film ends with questions, as I think the best films often do. Can you tell us, are you able to give us an update on Elizabeth and Marcos and their family?
This is what I'm going to tell you. You watch the film. It's on tonight, 9 to 11, in Maine and around the country, nationally. There's an update on the Frontline website, or the Independent Lens website, because they're both presenting it. I believe it's on the Independent Lens website. It has a statement about where they are now in Elizabeth's own words. So you can get there, go to Independent Lens. Marcos doesn't live here anymore. And you can see on their site her own words about what happened and where they are now. And
excellent.
What they're doing.
Well, we look forward to that, and I look forward to watching it again tonight. It's a very powerful film. Marcos Doesn't Live Here Anymore, tonight at 9 o'clock on PBS and on Maine Public Television here in the state. David, thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon.
And thank you for having me. It means a lot to me, and I think to the film, too.
Thank you again. We wish you luck with it.